from Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 17. Those few verses, I will read if you are there. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the people, from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Praise be to God for his word. That story there of Moses, coupled with the one in Mark chapter 9, have given me the strength of to give a theme of my sermon today. Without Jesus, we are vulnerable. Amen. Moses said, "I'm not going away if you're not going with us. I might as well remain where you are." He wanted to remain within the glory of God. So, that has actually prompted me to say, if you don't have Jesus, you are vulnerable. Amen. We'll hear as we go along in this story. One year, I went for holiday. And when I was going on holiday, I thought, well, I've left all the problems behind. Let me go and enjoy myself. And I did enjoy on my holiday. But when I came back, when I opened the door, the first thing I saw were those khaki envelopes. Have you received them in your house? Khaki envelopes from the postman. The postman is just doing his job. The khaki envelopes are the ones that bring your accounts, what you owe, what you need to pay. So as we opened the door from our holiday, there was a pile of letters. A few minutes later, that happiness that I'd enjoyed on the holiday when I opened the khaki envelopes was dampened because there were bills to be paid. Another mind crossed me, so I should have not gone for holiday, then I should have paid my bills. But I still wanted to enjoy myself. Jesus, when he was coming from the top of the mountain, he got back to some of his disciples he had left. You remember last week, we were speaking about three disciples. We went with Jesus to the mountaintop, and they saw how Jesus was transfigured. The other nine disciples didn't see what happened, but when Jesus came back, he thought, because my disciples have been learning what I've been doing. Little did he know. Out of sight, out of mind. I might sound horrible to the disciples, but this is what it implies. Because Jesus had gone to the mountaintop with the other three disciples. Here they are faced with a problem. And the father of the little boy wanted help. But there was no help forthcoming. Why? So as Jesus is coming back, he gets to the disciples. He's back again to stage one where he started. Because you remember in chapter 6, Jesus sent out the disciples, 72 of them, and he gave them power and authority to cast out demons, to heal, and do all sorts. Why are they not doing it here? That proves it. Without Jesus, we are vulnerable. Living with evil spirits. Evil spirits do exist. That's why they are written in the Bible. If they were not existing, we are not going to write about it. I was talking to someone the other day. He said, "Gilson, why do you have all these weird things?" and weird names. Do they really exist? If something doesn't exist, it doesn't have a name. Amen. So evil spirits do exist. The disciples, they saw this man who came to them. According to Mark, he says when Jesus got down there, there was an argument going on. So when I read this story, I was thinking to myself, what was the argument going on about? Because it doesn't say in the Bible. There was an argument going on. So I said to myself, maybe they were arguing that the way you are healing, that's not how Jesus does it. Or maybe the disciples were being told by the teachers of the law. You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were always following also where Jesus was. Maybe they would be discouraged by the comments that were passed. So they couldn't perform what they wanted to do. So in this passage this morning, we are going to learn about three things. One, we are going to learn how to pray for evil spirits to go away. Two, we are going to learn how to increase our faith. And lastly, praying and fasting, which some of us have thrown that word out of our vocabulary. I'm not saying you're not doing it, but there are some. We've forgotten what fasting is. Hence, we are being reminded in this text this morning that we need to fast. I'm fascinated by this man. He knew where to go when he encountered an evil spirit in his son. He thought of Jesus. Have you thought of Jesus when you're having problems or trouble wherever you are? Or you thought, well, I'll sort it myself. I'm a hard nut. You are not a hard nut, mate. Only Jesus can make it easier for you. So this man, whose name is not given, he saw his son suffering and he thought of Jesus and he brought his son to Jesus. I'm glad this man knew about the evil spirits, how to treat them, how to report them to Jesus. But there are some of us who are really struggling with this issue. We don't even know whether these are evil spirits or it's out of the normal. So we let it like that. Instead, I'm encouraging you this morning that when you see odd things like this happening in your son, in your daughter, or in your friend, bring them before Jesus. Without Jesus, we are vulnerable. The first point I want you to know is Jesus has given you the power, authority to cast out all these demons, to cast out all evil spirits. He has. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to use it. In the name of Jesus, I command healing. Whenever you are asking someone to be healed, use the name. In the name of Jesus, I command healing. In the name of Jesus, I command evil spirits to go out. And they will go. This man came to the disciples, but they had no clue how to cast out this evil spirit. Have they forgotten what Jesus told them in Mark chapter 6? He gave them authority and power to heal and cast out demons. But here, Jesus came back and they failed to cast out that spirit out of the young man. Why? I think when we become vulnerable, we need to go back to our drawing board. Who is our drawing board? Our drawing board is Christ. Because the Bible says he has given us authority. We are not doing it all with our own power. We are doing it with the authority that Jesus has given us. Authority to heal and cast out demons. It's given to you. The Bible says so. Jesus sent the 72 and he gave them power and authority to cast out demons. But here, the 9 disciples, one little boy who was possessed, they failed to exercise that authority given to them. They were vulnerable without Jesus. So if you say your prayer or you command healing without the name of Jesus, you are doing it in vain, my brother, my sister. You need to command in the name of Jesus. Whatever the spirit is, how strong it is, once it hears the name of Jesus, they will flee. I want to tell you this story about an evil spirit in the book of Matthew. I found that evil spirits are afraid of Jesus Christ. It says, when they see him approaching, they trembled and begged for mercy. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Evil spirits know about the end time too. The evil spirit said to Jesus, please, don't condemn us yet. It's not yet the end time. These are evil spirits. They know of the end time and they know who Jesus is. What about you? That little boy who lives in your house has got evil spirits and you keep him thinking it's the normal things. That's not normal. Bring him to Jesus because evil spirits know who Jesus is. Whatever spirits are tormenting you, we should tell Jesus because he's our Lord. We want to be like the deer which pants for the water. If evil spirits can acknowledge Jesus as the one that removes them, what about you? What do you say this morning? You need to go to the well to go and quench your thirst. Maybe at work, you've been in that situation for a long time and you wonder, when am I going to be promoted? Evil spirits travel at work as well. Evil spirits can live in the church as well. Evil spirits can live in your home as well. Why am I saying this? Have you heard church people having squabbles in the church? Have you heard of churches splitting over a small little things? No, if it's not going my way, I'm off. You're off to where? We are here to worship the Lord. Because you've had a disagreement with your fellow Christian and you are moving off to where? Sometimes when you don't agree to differ and move on. Why do you want to go? And you go and join the other church there with your problems that you brought from the other church and you're going to destroy the other church as well. Before you even know, those are evil spirits. They are pushing you away from the church that you know to go and join another church. Solve your problems with the church that you know. What about at home? Sometimes you find out from nowhere, there are disagreements. And sometimes you say, why was this? This was a small, trivial matter. Why did it go this far? Those are evil spirits before you know. Pray for them because you've got the power that Christ has given you. Always pray for these spirits to be away from your home, from your workplace. Sometimes you've wondered at work also, why am I not being promoted? I've been here for a long time. I'm always working my best, performing in my best way. Ask for the God of promotion to cast the spirit of not being promoted so that you can be promoted. Hallelujah. There's also a story that Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 30. He says, the master of this world cannot cling on Jesus because he's the boss. The devil is the boss of this world at the moment. So he thinks, I'm big. But he cannot cling on Jesus. Not at all. Jesus is king. Evil spirits belong to the devil. So when they see Jesus, they tremble. So Jesus is boss. There is a story also in the book of Luke. The story goes as there was a woman who was sick. And when she was sick, doctors treated for the symptoms. But God drives out the root cause. Doctors treat the symptoms, but they don't drive out the root cause. Who can take out the root cause? It's only God. In the name of Jesus. The root cause is removed. I'm not discouraging you to go to your doctors. That's fine. But all you should know in your heart is that they only remove the symptoms. God is the one who removes the root cause. So that woman in the book of Luke, the story goes as she was crippled through the spirit of infirmity. When Jesus drove out the evil spirit, the spine was healed. Is that so? She was crippled through a spirit of infirmity. But when Jesus drove out the evil spirit, the spine was healed. All I'm encouraging you is the power that we are given by Christ to heal. It's in our hands. We should use it. Item number two, to avoid being vulnerable. The first question we ask ourselves is, what does God want us to do? God doesn't want you to be vulnerable because Christ is there. Use Christ. But do we? The disciples, they knew Christ had gone to pray. He had gone to the top of the mountain with the other three disciples. And they were vested with the power to drive out evil spirits to heal. But they didn't use it. Hence, they became vulnerable. So, to avoid this vulnerability, I'm saying to you this morning, we need Christ in whatever we are doing. We need Christ to perform in our best. Who wants failure? I don't. I always want success. So for you to have that success that you crave for, you need Jesus. Without Jesus, you cannot be successful. I'm sorry to say so, but it happens. As we read our story in verse 19, Jesus tells his disciples that they are unbelieving. That is why they were failing to heal that young man. They were doubting. In our hearts, there are two things that struggle within us. The mind of believing and the mind of disbelieving. So that is why when you are praying, your mind is divided. Is this going to happen? I'm just praying, but I don't think so. Aha. Once that mind creeps in you that I'm just praying, I don't think whether it's going to happen. You've got two minds. You must have one complete mind that you must have. The disciples, for their lack of faith, they became vulnerable without Jesus. Without his authority, you can also be vulnerable. In order for us to be able to be people who are able to do what Christ, the author that was given to us, we must have faith. So we are learning today that we need to increase our faith. Jesus said, you have faith in me and you will do greater things. Do you remember the story of the mustard seed? Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 verse 6, according to the New Living Translation, he says this, the Lord answered, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will obey you. That is Jesus who is saying that. So the disciples didn't have faith. They were doubting whether they were discouraged by the Pharisees or the teachers of the law or the Sadducees who were around them. We don't know. But if you've got faith, nothing should take you away from Jesus, believing in Jesus. Nothing should discourage you when you have got that authority he gave to you. Listen to the good news. I want you to associate yourself with more faith in Christ. Take away that unbelieving heart, and you will be successful. Here is another quote from the book of Matthew. It says, chapter Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what I have done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Remember, you remember the story of that fig tree. When Jesus was walking early in the morning, he went to that fig tree and there was not even a single fruit on it. Jesus cast it and it started drying because there was no fruit on it. The encouragement that we get from this text is that we mustn't be doubters. We are people who have been empowered with that power from Christ. He has given us authority to cast out demons and to heal. So for you to achieve this, you need to have more faith in Jesus Christ. When we increase our faith, what happens? We are being trained to be disciples. As you are being trained to be a disciple, you are increasing your discipleship. What is discipleship? During my preparations, I had this book by Peter Horobin. So I looked, what does it mean to be, what does it mean about discipleship? He writes to say, discipleship is not training in how to run church programs or even studying everything in the Bible. A real discipleship is learning how to apply the truths of God's word so that the whole of life can be lived under the leadership of Jesus. And that every part of one's being, spirit, soul, and body can be whole. When we increase our faith in Jesus, we will do whatever Jesus said we will do. We should be true believers who are full of faith, not just religious people. If we are just religious people, we end up like the people in the book of Acts chapter 19. You remember the sons of Sceva, they were imitating Paul. And the story goes, the evil spirits that came out of that man actually give them a good beating because they were imitating. So we don't want them to end up like that. We want to be people of faith who know that Christ has given us authority. So that is what it means to in discipleship. We live the life of Christ. We imitate what Christ was doing. Christ has given us that authority. Then why can't we use it? Maybe our faith is less lacking. Then another third thing that helps us to improve in our vulnerability. This is the final word, how to avoid being vulnerable. It is simple, but most people forget about it. I mentioned it earlier on, but Jesus is saying here, that's why you are failing. You remember in our reading, as Mike was reading in chapter 9, verse 29, if I can read that with you again. Where are we? Right, it says, he replied, this kind came out only by prayer. If your Bible is like mine, there is a small B in italics. If you follow it down to the bottom of your Bible, it tells you what that B stands for. It says, such can only come out because of prayer. And that small B stands for fasting. Amen. If you've got a Bible like mine, it shows so. So that is my last word, that some of these things we fail because we have forgotten how to fast. Amen. When we pray for something, let also include fasting in our praying. That will help us to achieve what we want to achieve. Because Jesus himself was fond of praying and fasting. For 40 days, he was praying. The devil tried to distract him by saying, if you are the Son of God, change that stone into bread. This is when Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the word of the mouth of God. So in the mouth of God this morning, God is saying, in your prayers, you need fasting, my brothers and sisters. When last did you fast? If you have forgotten how to fast, that is why you have tried to ask that that fig tree to dry up, and it never dried. You have asked that mountain to move, it never moved, because you've forgotten how to fast. Without fasting, we are vulnerable. Without fasting, we cannot cast out those evil spirits that are tormenting your son. Without fasting, that's why you are not being promoted at work, because you've forgotten one aspect of you to achieve. Without fasting, that's why friends are eluding you. Pray for good friends. Pray for good neighbors. Pray for promotion at work. But include fasting in your praying. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Then in verse 21, Jesus asks a question. But how long has this boy been like this? The father says, ever since he was a child. Evil spirits are associated with the devil. So we must not let them harbor in our children. That text prompted me to advise you to bring your children as early as possible to the Lord. If evil spirits can attack them at that early age, why can't we also bring our children as early as possible to the Lord? Amen. So this is the best way that we can banish the evil spirits. Pray and fast for them to disappear. When you note something which is not proper within your child, or even within your wife or within your husband, bring it before the Lord. Before the Holy Spirit hold forth, bring it before the Lord. This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Those were Jesus' words to the disciples, because they asked him, why were we failing? Then Jesus reminded them, this kind can only come out with prayer and fasting. If you have forgotten about fasting, you should start now. We are being encouraged to have more faith. We are being encouraged to use the authority that Christ gave us. Resist that spirit of unbelief. The second point is, we must declare all evil spirits within our children to Jesus. He will help us. The third aspect is, we are being encouraged to pray and fast. My last advice to you this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 20. It says this, get all advice and instruction you can, so you will be wise the rest of your life. I'll repeat that verse again. Get all the advice and instruction you can, so you will be wise the rest of your life. Christ has given you advice this morning, how to get rid of evil spirits, how to pray and fast to achieve things. If you do want the vulnerability to disappear from you, let the living waters flow over you. Let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you.